Sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of nothing possess a life which God has given, but to those who believe in his Son. And in this passage we have now brotherly love, love in John, in this epistle, always extends on itself only to the brethren, which does not mean that love bears not a further extension, but in his epistles it speaks of love. Prove the contrary. And that is what we find in verse 15, where we have seen, this will be the verse that we continue today, that the one that hates his brother is a murderer. And we know that no murderer has eternal life in the mind. Everyone that hates his brother is a murderer. This shows us a very important principle, and that is that God does not look at effects, but at causes, motives. For us, somebody in human society, and even among Christians, somebody who would hate his brother, evil as it is, would not be put on the same level as a murderer. Because we judge so much according to effects. And the effect of not loving his brother, but respecting one's brother, does not seem as evil as to kill him. But for God, it is the same thing. And this is a very important thing to grasp, especially if one is young in faith, that not in human society, and even in the assembly, the judgment hating one's brother, putting under the
I suppose, the clearest
example of the case where hatred became murder is in the case of the Lord Jesus, where it says in the Psalms, they hated you without cause. So the spirits, the spirit of Christ is speaking through the Psalms. But then we read in Acts chapter 3 that they slew the Lord Jesus.
Even going a little further in this verses, and he not only connects hatred with murder, but also connects hatred and murder to the absence of life.
This verse he wants to name is one of these verses where we really must understand that the way John is speaking, and the brothers have already pointed out that he speaks principally on this, he is an unbeliever, a brother, somebody who hates, murderer, the absence of life. Because otherwise we would come to strange conclusions. I once had to answer a question that was sent to me by email, and this verse was quoted. The question was if a believer that committed suicide was lost, because it says in murderers it did not know eternal life about him, or if a believer would really actually kill somebody that it was lost again because of this verse. But this verse does not speak about exceptional cases that might occur, but about the principle. And this verse is talking about here, this murderer here is an unbeliever because of the effect that he hates his brother. Makes him a murderer is proof, as we said, of the absence of a life.
In verse 13, spricht Johannes eigentlich als Bruder zu Brüdern.
In verse 13, John speaks as a brother to brothers.
Und spricht eben über den Charakter der Welt.
And he speaks about the character of the world.
Zum Beispiel in Vers 18 spricht Johannes dann als ein geistlicher Vater zu seinen Kindern.
But in verse 18 he speaks as a spiritual father to his children.
Aber wir haben gesehen, dass Hass eben die Vorstufe von Mord ist.
Now we've seen that hatred is the, might say, preparatory step to murder.
Für die Welt ist Hass nichts Besonderes.
For the world, and hatred is nothing special.
Sie findet, sie hat das Recht, gewisse Menschen zu hassen.
The world believes that they have the right to hate certain people.
But aber Gott sieht das natürlich ganz anders.
But God sees this differently.
Und so können wir sagen, der Hass nimmt das Leben.
And so we can say that hatred takes away life.
Und in Vers 16 sehen wir die Liebe, die das Leben freiwillig gibt.
And in verse 16 we see the love which gives life out of free will.
Also Hass nimmt das Leben, Liebe gibt das Leben freiwillig.
So hatred takes life, love gives life.
Und wir sehen jetzt schon das dritte Mal den Herrn Jesus als Vorbild und Maßstab für uns.
And this is the third time now that the Lord Jesus is presented to us as standard.
In Vers 3 haben wir ihn gesehen als Maßstab für die Reinheit.
We have seen him in verse 3 as the standard for our purity.
In Vers 7 haben wir ihn gesehen als Maßstab für Gerechtigkeit.
In verse 7 as the standard for righteousness.
Und hier in Vers 16 ist der Maßstab für die Liebe.
And in verse 16 he is the standard for love.
Also wir lernen die Liebe Gottes nicht in dieser Weise bei den Geschwistern kennen.
So we can't learn what the love of God is in this way by looking at our brethren.
Wobei wir empfangen natürlich viel Liebe von den Geschwistern.
Well, obviously we also receive much love from our brethren.
Aber was Liebe ist, lernen wir beim Herrn.
But to learn what love actually is, we need to look at the Lord.
Wir finden auch dreimal das Kreuz.
We also find the cross three times in this chapter.
Wir haben es gesehen in Vers 5.
First in Vers 5.
Dass unsere Sünden weggenommen hat. Das ist am Kreuz.
He was manifested to take away our sins. This was at the cross.
Und wir haben gesehen in Vers 8, dass offenbar worden ist, die Werke des Teufels zu vernichten.
And then in verse 8b, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Aber in Vers 16 sehen wir das Kreuz als Offenbarung seiner Liebe.
But in verse 16 we see the cross as the manifestation of his love.
John extreme, as it is said here, this test would never be applicable. That a real unbeliever, a man, a person which, who is dead in this sin, takes a place among the believers and reveals that he is not a believer himself at all. And he says that because he's speaking clearly of good believers here, not of brothers and sisters who fall into an occasional bad state where they say things like, I hate this brother as we have seen yesterday, which is in itself already a terrible thing. But here it is a state which is explained at the end, as we have heard just now, that the murderer cannot have eternal life in himself. So it is not a question here of believers falling away, but of someone who has never had life and does not have life at the present time, which does not mean that he cannot be converted. That's quite a different thing. And he's speaking of the person as she or he manifests self. And then again, verse 16, we see the contrary. Herein we have all love. Hereby we have all love because he, the Lord Jesus, is the Christ, has laid down his life for us. That is exactly the contrary of hate, of this hatred which has been described before. Their hatred has the tendency of killing others. Our Lord, the Son of God, has been, has laid down his life for us. And the true characteristic of a true Christian is what we read in the second half of verse 16. And we all for the world to lay down our lives. As we have seen several times, we are in countries where we for Christ's sake, probably never be in a position to lay down our lives for our brothers.
who for my life staked their own neck, do not own either the sacred goats or all the assemblies of the nations. They were willing to do it was not necessary to go to that far, but they were prepared to lay down their lives if possible.
It is been said, if we really appreciate what God has done for us, as recorded in John 3:16, what we get recorded in 1 John 3:16 would be easy for us to fulfill.
Verse 16, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, I suppose corresponds to the word of the Lord himself. In John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I have not so far been called on to lay down my life for friends or for brethren. But verse 17 must apply to all of us in life. What I have in mind is a man in the Old Testament, Balaam, who said, let me die the death of the righteous. But he was not prepared to live the life of the righteous. But verse 17, I think, brings us into the question of what we can do during our life here in this world. We may be, we've heard of those who in effect are called on to lay down their lives for the brethren. We can say nothing for that. But if we're not in that category, then I think verse 17 does apply to us while the Lord has us here in this world.
To this love that should motivate us. I note in the beginning of the verse 15, the words of God are in italics and missing in the new translation, in which case it reads, hereby have we known love, which is perhaps slightly different from the love of God specifically, or the love of the Father, which we also have in this epistle, but love characteristically, to know what love as such is at all. We need to look in this direction, to look at the Lord who laid down his life. And in this way we know, which is this knowing by experience. We have experience in the sense of observed in the scriptures what the Lord has done in laying down his life. Now we've looked at the ultimate point to which this, which we have this debt of showing this love, and it was mentioned that everything in between is included as well. And perhaps just one example for this as well from 1 Corinthians. There's this household mention of Stephanas, doesn't say that they died for their brethren, but it says they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's a good addiction. Also translated, they have devoted themselves. So they have not laid down their lives, but they have used their lives. And certainly the direction here for this ministry of this household of Stephanus was that they did it for the saints, and in this sense, love for the brethren.
Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice
mostly perhaps not in our immediate surroundings, but in the world at large. By this token, give us the grace that is the love of God that abides in us, and that we are sharing our being happening to in a very rich manner for those who have sometimes not even 10% of what we have here. I think it's a very severe and more kind and earnest exhortation for us, how we may have the minds, the love of God in him, if we live in wealth and affluence and spend the money for ourselves, for our own interests and for our own well-being, forgetting what £10 or €10 can mean for somebody in Africa, that we throw it away for nothing. And let this be a serious appeal to our hearts, to ask ourselves what are we doing with our means, Mr. Lord, or less which he gives us.
Maybe this connection might read probably chapter 15, verses 7 to 11. If there be among you a poor man of one of my brethren within any of my gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God give thee, thou shalt not harden thy heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanted. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught. And he cry unto the Lord against thee, and be sin unto him. Thou shalt surely give him, and thy heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease unto the man. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy.
Here in verse 17.
Not shut up the bowels of our compassion, Lord, as we have heard them all. And he doesn't say perhaps we should shut the purse.
Perhaps we should make clear that the bowels are the seat of the emotions. The heart is the place where desire is expressed. We tend to think of we associate the heart with love in this country, but it's the breast in Scripture that's associated with love.
Find
principle also in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, where we read this, let the stealer steal no more, but rather let him toil, working what is honest with his hands, that he may have to distribute to him that has need. So it's like, could I say, a teaching in economics that Paul is giving us here. We should have an account, so to say, in our practice and also in our minds. There should always remain something to put in that account. And it seems that the way Paul is putting it here, it's like saying the reason you are working for is to help those who are in need. It does not mention that we will fulfill our needs and that we will feed our families. It does not say let him work in order to provide for his children. It says here let him work so as to have something to give to that who is in need. It's a very interesting subject of how we are taught to count our money and our substance in scripture. It's a very nice and wide subject, but one of the details are here. Now, I think that we could add something, and it has been said, it's not only about money, it's about the substance, and the word is very well placed, of course, in the Bible, because it's not only about money, it's also about time. It's also about knowledge. If a family has children and the young sister has some spare time and goes there and stays with the children, this is actually the same thing.